Welcome to The Benchcast with your host, the man whose business is benching, Coach Ben.
All right, so let's get into it. I have a couple topics that I did want to touch today. You guys can definitely feel free to chime in and share if you feel like it's relatable. But I want to go back to something that Adam said. So on his post regarding how he handled four plates raw without focusing on his bench, I read through it and I saw that he mentioned how he had to overcome the fear of lowering the bar too far down, which would help him touch better. So basically, he goes on to say that with equipped benching, that there's kind of like a tipping point. So if he lets the bar get too far down, then there's like he runs the risk of kind of like dumping it. And when you're working with like heavy weights or just weights that you don't feel comfortable handling yet, then that can be really scary. But something that I wanted to touch on this is just that exactly that, just overcoming that fear. Like, I feel like you don't really have to be an equipped lifter to relate to that. Like you can have that fear in other lifts. Like for me, for example, I have a fear at the bottom of the squat. Like as I'm getting down into the position, I already start thinking of, am I going to be able to get out? And then once I start getting into that, I notice that I start cutting reps. So similar with Adam, he'll start fearing that. And then he ends up not touching because he's afraid that he gets it at a certain point, then he's going to fail. So he kind of already puts not him specifically, but you'll put yourself out before you even get to the thing or before you even fail. So I feel like something that's really important with powerlifting, assuming that you have like a crew with you, you have a spotter, there's like safeties in place so that you're able to do this safely, is being able to take calculated risks, being okay with getting it wrong a lot, right? And then using that to kind of readjust like your training, be like, okay, this didn't work. Okay, maybe this touch point didn't work, or maybe this stance didn't work, and moving it around. And I feel like allowing yourself to make these mistakes and make them often, especially in training, because that's exactly what it is. It's training. We're figuring out what works. We're figuring out what doesn't work, and we're playing around with those factors so that once meet day comes in, you already have all of that dialed in. You don't have to worry about, hey, is this stance too wide, or that, because we already made all of those mistakes in training. So take advantage of training being training. Stop thinking that it has to look absolutely perfect. This is when it's supposed to go absolutely sideways so that you know what works and what doesn't. So you take what works, throw away what doesn't, and then meet day, you're at your best. You know exactly what to do more or less, right? Because there's always like outside factors. So.
Yeah, I absolutely love that discussion there, Coach Steph, because we're not even talking about like technical things. We're just talking about mindset. And I think that is just as important as anything, because I'm even dealing with that a little bit now too, because I don't have a usual like big crew training with me. I'm usually isolated in another room on the combo rack, and someone comes in, gives me a handoff, but it's just a single person. And I've definitely told athletes before, the best thing that they can do is actually just fail. I remember I was working with one lady. She was out in Australia, and she had not failed a squat in like 3 years, because it's good. She never would push herself to that level in training, but it's almost like at that point too, you don't even know what's possible because you haven't really had to grind out a rep, because you're always skating that RPE below 9, because she's never putting herself near failure. So I was like, the best thing could ever happen to you is set up the safeties. Make sure you're safe, guys. Make sure you're safe. Talking to Coach Brad here, no weight falling on your neck. Make sure you're safe. Push yourself. If you fail, sometimes you just need to know what failing feels like. It's kind of like if you're afraid of the ball in baseball, sometimes the best thing is just to, like Happy Gilmore, set up at the pitch and jug and just start taking it to the chest, right? So you just got to kind of expose yourself to that failure, or you know, whatever it is, and see like, oh, the safeties actually do work, or my handoffs can actually catch the bar. Because a lot of times that fear in the back of your head's preventing you from getting down lower. And I'm definitely going through that myself lately. So I think that's a fantastic topic. How does it feel for you, Steph? I know we were doing that last meet, getting down in the squat, and I didn't do anything too different with you. I had you set up your feet a little bit different, but it's really just when you're surrounded with the right people pushing you to just be like, hey, get lower. I know that's been Corey's case too. There you did it, you know? So it wasn't too much different. It was just, hey, gotta get lower, and we got lower. And I think a lot of it was just you're starting to set that standard in your training elsewhere, and then you're just not pushing yourself beyond that point.
Yeah, I noticed when I did that session with you in the suit for squats that I was when I was on my own, I was thinking a lot about it. So and Adam actually had kind of called me out on it. He's like, "Why are you doing an eccentric squat? Like you're going so slow." And that was because I was thinking every inch I lowered down, I was having a full-blown conversation with myself. I was in my head, I was not present. And I kept like cutting depth. And then when I was finally with you, I wasn't thinking about that anymore because I had outsourced my anxiety to you. So I'm just like, okay, I'm just here. And I didn't realize it took for me to kind of be there with you to realize, oh, okay, I see what I was doing. I was just thinking too much. I love the Happy Gilmore reference. It always goes back to Adam Sandler every time.
Yes.
But it kind of reminded me of like when I was trying to learn how to longboard and I was like very scared and like I would try and then I would almost fall and I was scared and my husband would tell me, "You just need to fall." And I'm like, "Why would I do that? That's crazy. I don't have health insurance." But anyway, one day I'm going at it, we're doing it, and I just basically eat shit, right? And I fell and I just thought to myself, that actually wasn't bad at all. And after that, I started taking more chances with the board. I started playing around with like how my foot hits the ground, playing around with different stances, because then I already knew what it was going to feel like to fall. And what I thought it was going to feel like was significantly worse than the actual falling. And I had like a scrape on my arm and I didn't die. It didn't hurt. It was kind of fun. It was like kind of similar another time when I was like ice skating and I'm like, I'm so scared. I can't fall in front of these 3-year-olds. They're killing it. And I fell in front of the 3-year-olds. We all laughed and we had a good time. And you continue getting back up and having like fun. But you have to just kind of like do that first before you can pivot because you can't change anything or pivot if you don't mess it up a little bit first.
Yeah, 100%. That was like the best thing when I was learning skiing, just falling. If you just fall, if you eat shit going up the bunny slope, whatever, then you got it out of the way, then you're good.
You'll know exactly what not to do next time, right? So, I guess the fear thing and all of those things kind of also play into learning to embrace like discomfort. So, like being scared is uncomfortable, and being under heavy loads is uncomfortable, right? But what we do is not comfortable. All right, because what we're doing again is pushing our bodies to the absolute max. I know it's not the same, but in some ways it is. Like, for example, like running a marathon, that's the extreme version of that. They have to really like a different way of pushing your body to the max, right? So like you have to learn to be on you have to learn to be comfortable in the discomfort. And like whether it's actual physical discomfort or whether it's anxiety, you want to take advantage that we do this, right, on a consistent basis. And then you want to kind of take notes like, okay, who am I under this anxiety? Who am I really under this discomfort, right? And then seeing how you react, seeing like what helps you do better and stuff like that, or seeing really like, hey, this makes me kind of like hinders me or whatever. But and then using that information and kind of using it to kind of help optimize your training. So okay, I know when I do this, I react like that. So now I'm going to put these measures in place to sort of kind of like optimize my training, make this slightly less uncomfortable. Something that I really love about equip lifting that I have been taking into my raw lifting. Now, okay, I'm gonna push my agenda. I think everybody should do equip lifting at least once. Right. So I'm gonna always say that, because like I feel like with weight lifting, I learned the difference between actual physical fatigue, right? Mental fatigue, and then like CNS fatigue, right? So I'm in the middle of a session, and in the beginning I couldn't tell which one was which. Like, am I like, because like when you're in equipment and you're pushing against the material, I felt like there's a point where you actually do get physically tired from pushing it, but I feel like that's the last one. I feel like I first get mentally fatigued from pushing it, and then I couldn't tell what the difference was. And I feel like it's important to learn these differences, because you'll learn when to push right forward, when to pull back, and what type of pushing and pulling back. Because like, if you're mentally exhausted, you gotta kind of treat it a different way than if you actually physically cannot do the thing. Right, you're mentally exhausted, maybe you need to have a conversation, maybe you need to change the music. But if you're actually physically exhausted, or it's like a central nervous fatigue, then maybe you need to cut a little bit of the volume or this or that. But you have to kind of learn about like which one's which, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's really important for like becoming like a better lifter. And that's I respect equipped lifters a lot more now, because I didn't realize that aside from the actual physical discomfort of being under a heavy load, it comes with a lot of other things, and being in tune with those things forces you to be once again more present with your training. Like, I'm really here. I cannot cruise through this, because I can't afford it, because it's gonna fall on my neck. It's gonna fall on my back. I'm gonna fall back. And I love that about this, because everything else kind of gets like you zone everything else out. It's just a bar. It's just what's happening like in front of you, but also like what's happening here and what's happening here. And Eric wrote something that I love. He wrote patience and zen, and you can apply that to your training. Like, you're not actually have to physically meditate or anything like that, but just learning to calm your mind while you're under a heavy load and not thinking about how uncomfortable it is. You know what I mean?
Mindfulness is the term you're looking for. You want to be mindful in the moment. You want to focus on your task, not so much focus on the uncomfortability and what's hurting you and what's battling against you. You just want to be in the moment. You want to run through your cues. You want to punch the weight, and that's it. You don't want to think about your stuff that you got to do later. You don't want to think about how hungry you are. You don't want to think about how the shirt's biting into you. You just want to be mindful in the task that you're completing.
Well said, Brad, and that is why you're the bench Buddha, right? I love
Bench
that.
Buddha.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
I'll weigh in real quick, Steph. I really love how you mentioned so you have physical fatigue, you have CNS fatigue, but then you also added in mental fatigue. And I really, really love that, how you mentioned that, because that is also something to consider, because I'm sure we've all been in those scenarios where, hey, we might not be at our physical limits yet. We might not even be at those CNS limits. Like, we're perfectly capable of executing a heavy set, but for some reason, maybe you're just not mentally into it. And then, you could go to whatever's going to ground you in the moment. But sometimes that's important to know, is it worth taking a shot at this weight if I know I'm mentally distracted right now, or I'm just not in it? Because if you try to push yourself and you're not mentally in it, then you are setting yourself up in a really bad spot, even worse than if you were physically exhausted or if you were even like CNS fatigue. Like, you do not want to push yourself if you're not mentally into a set, because that's the quickest way to hurt yourself.
Yeah, I've been learning that. Because sometimes mental fatigue can feel like physical fatigue. And that's been like the most rewarding lesson of really everything. And I'm really grateful for the experience that I've been having with the equipped lifting. I love like having had the experience of like competing that way, and competing for so many years raw, and then being able to compare these differences. And I'm really excited to like I'm sure like it's gonna bring also like a different energy to like my raw lifting as well. But I feel like the mental component wasn't as aware of it until I had to do this. And I feel like it's very important to acknowledge that, very important to kind of give it its own category, because like it can really it can affect all the other stuff. It can affect the actual like your actual physical capacity. So that's why I said, like, sometimes, like, do you really need to cut volume, or do you need to change the song, or do you need to change the atmosphere, or do you
Yeah.
need like somebody to pump you up? And these things, it sounds really silly, right? But like it makes like a big difference. Like I used to train, and there's nothing wrong with Frank Sinatra, but I really don't want to listen to him when I'm doing a one rep max. And he used to train with this guy that will play the slowest music ever, and I'll get sad. You know what I mean? But like, and again, you're not gonna have this in the meets, right? Like, but if you can control it during training and optimize it, then like don't punish yourself. Make it comfortable-ish. Make it fun, especially on the days when like you don't feel like it. On the days when you don't feel like it, give yourself the creature comforts. If you want to like punish yourself on the other days to kind of train that mindset, that's good too. But then also have a like a contingency plan in place on the days when you're grumpy, on the days where you're
100%.
particularly stressed out.
I notice that when I'm mentally fatigued, especially with a main lift, I don't have the ability to strain. So, like, I can't physically get myself to get to that point where I'm just embracing the suck and I'm able to fight through that weight. Like, that's the difference between like a 405 bench and a 450 bench for me right now, is if my mental fatigue is low, then I can get to those higher points. If my mental fatigue is high, I can't even get close to that. And those are the days where, maybe I reduce my RPE on my main lift, I focus on some technique points, and then I attack my accessories.
That's absolutely it, right? That's the contingency plan. Kind of pivoting in a way where like, hey, I can still work on something else, but still keep because I know like when I have when I'm mentally fatigued and I push anyway, I feel like sometimes a little bit of that carries into the next session. But I found that if I do exactly what you did, hey, maybe if I just lower this, focus on that, it still kind of keeps my spirits up. It kind of keeps me from being like down on myself and stuff. But it's also, I guess, might be different for different people, but finding what works for you that's going to keep you motivated in the long term. Because at the end of the day, like powerlifting is, as corny as it sounds, it really is a marathon of who can embrace the suck for the longest. And the longest is not 1 to 2 years, it's like a decade. It's
It's a
like
battle of
15.
attrition for sure.
Yeah, because of the best lifters, like the people that I know right now. Like some people that I started like training with that have are like now Instagram famous. Like we started on the same bar. We had the same coach. You know what I mean? And they became overnight sensations over after 10, 15 years. You know what I mean? And they didn't just wake up benching 300 or 200, 400 or squatting 600. They've been going at it every single day for since before I even met them. And I feel like a lot of people don't take stuff like that into consideration, which brings me to my next point, that patience is absolutely key. And I wanted to bring up an example. And I you know what, I talk all of I talk a lot of smack, and I do all of the things that they say you shouldn't do, right? Like when I first hit a 270 bench in the shirt for the first time, I literally immediately texted coach, and I was just like, so how long do you think before I can bench 400, right? So sometimes you just gotta slow it down and enjoy what's happening in front of us, right? Like enjoy what's happening in front of us. Take time to be present with the current place that you're at, with the current work with it where you're at, down to each repetition. Right. So you want to be more present with, like I said, with where you're at, but also be present in your setup, be present in your walkout. And you don't want to always just be like going through the motions or constantly changing, I guess was the expression, like the post, right? You want to make sure that you treat like each, like give respect to each session, treat each individual rep like singles, because remember, we're power lifters, we're not bodybuilders, right? The pump is cool. But our bread and butter is really demonstrating absolute strength, and you're not going to demonstrate absolute strength doing everything all willy-nilly, doing reps all willy-nilly, and then like like not and not focusing on what's currently happening and thinking too much about a future point that you shouldn't even consider yet if you haven't reached a certain point yet. And I'm gonna call myself out because I'll give the example of like over the weekend I was doing back downs and okay, you know what? I'm just gonna call myself out. I've been skipping back downs on bench for a long time, coach. All right, because I hate them. It feels very uncomfortable. I couldn't tolerate it. And then I'll try to breeze through it. And I made the mistake of thinking that I can really do touch and go in a shirt. That is crazy. Now that I tried it. And I was telling coach before the call that like so I had to do 5 reps and each rep was like in a different state. First one was in New York, second one was in Connecticut, third one was in Pennsylvania. Pretty sure the fourth one drifted to Maine and it was like all over the place because I was not taking my time. I was just trying to get through the set, right? And you can't do that with your training. You have to be patient. Even at the beginning of the session, I was thinking, I'm gonna do 250 today, but I'm gonna do 280 next week. Like, how about we focus on completing 250 today and not cutting our neck off in back downs, Stephanie? And I have to pull the reel back, pull the reins back on myself sometimes. Right. So I don't know if you could relate or what do you think? Do you Brad, like Benny, do you guys have this problem in your training as well?
Being inconsistent with reps.
Pulling back the reins. I guess reps, right? But then like also like kind of looking too far forward where and not being present with what you're currently doing.
Yeah, I personally I struggle a lot with rushing reps sometimes, especially when it comes to the shirt because you want to just get that set over with. It's very uncomfortable. And it's easy enough to move fast and like get to a one board and hit it and go. But getting yourself to slow down each rep and intentionally make it feel worse because it's just a lot of time under tension. It's holding your breath, it's keeping that tension right, finding the right groove. It's not something you can easily rush. And that's another point that I wanted to mention since we're on that topic of patience and how powerlifting is a little bit different in bodybuilding. Really good points there, Coach Steph. Powerlifting, so why we harp on technique and all that so much is it's a sport of execution, which makes it so awesome because I think we all kind of probably got in the lifting just trying to get big. And sure, first time you touch weights, you explode and you're seeing this new muscle and everything, you're excited about it. And then you think you're going to get into bodybuilding and whatnot. And then I realized, I don't really grow for shit. So that's when I started transforming into a powerlifter. But it's not the biggest guys. I've seen this time and time again. Monster bodybuilding dudes coming to the gym. And you're like, wow, this guy, he probably benches 500. And then they struggle to bench 400. And then their progress is really limited because of their tendencies. They don't adopt those powerlifting tendencies. They don't focus on their technique. They don't focus on perfecting a certain pattern. They just go in and they lift heavy weight. And, sure, they're big. They have a lot of potential, have a lot of muscle mass, but they'd never make that transition into what you need to focus on powerlifting wise. So it's not the biggest person. And you'll see that at meets, and you'll be like, if you're a smaller person like me, I've never been the biggest person that I've stepped on platforms with. I've always been the littler guy. But I have execution on my side. The way I go about perfecting the practice that we do and focusing on things, that's where you can get a leg up because most people are just muscling it out in the gym. But there's a big, big difference there. So I like that you touched on that a bit there, Steph.
Only time I struggle with it is really coming back off of like a duration off. So like yesterday was my first workout back in probably about 6 weeks, I would say. And it's just, I know what I'm physically capable of, but like my body's also not primed, right? So like 315 and higher is going to feel a lot different than, it would any other day. Like where 315 is usually like an RPE 5. Was probably an RPE 7 or 8 because my body's taken about 6 weeks off to recover and it's not ready. It's not, I don't have that static tension from a little bit of extra pump in certain areas. My upper back's not primed like it usually is. And then just mentally understanding that and being okay with the lighter loads is what I need to focus on a lot of the times. Not so much rushing the sets. I mean, I'm sure I'll start rushing sets once I start training in equipment. It's just, it's the nature of the beast because it's uncomfortable and you don't want to be there doing it. But right now, that's the only part I really struggle with.
That is very relatable, Brad. I love that you brought that up because I have the tendency to like kind of do the same. So like with rushing the part about getting to the weight that I know that I can do, right? Like I when I started training again after the meet, I didn't. I'm not sure. So I'm not used to benching like multiple times per week, like in the past, right? So recently I started benching like 3 times per week. Right, which is what my schedule allows. And I didn't realize how much of a difference it would make in terms of like how much my bench started progressing after that, both raw and both equipped. Right. So it kind of makes sense with everything that I've been learning that like certain people just do better with benching multiple times per week. So I took a break. I did none. Right. And I did like just like dumbbell work and I get back in the shirt and then I just and I'm doing my raw like raw sets and I'm like, why is everything feel so heavy? Right. And like wanting to get like right back to like where like I was immediately after and then kind of like not taking into consideration that, hey, you had like a down period. It's going to be a week or two where things might not like feel like just like might not feel how they used to. Because you kind of have to, like, you can get detrained easily, especially with bench, as I've come to learn, and just like taking certain stuff into consideration with like specific lifts, how to treat it when you have a down period, not feeling discouraged if things feel heavy, because it's kind of normal. Not kind of normal. It's absolutely normal. It's to be expected. And if you go into it with, I find that if you go into it with that expectation, you're going to be less likely to be disappointed or you're going to be slightly less disappointed. But I know for me, my toxic trait is that like, if I don't see a certain number on like a certain plates on the bar, then I start being like, oh, I don't want anybody to look at me. But you can't be like, he can't be like that. I don't know why I'm like that, but you can't be like that. You have to
Yeah, I got a good case study for you guys. So Latif, since we're on the topic of, he just competed this weekend, crushed it, went 8 for 9. So proud of Latif. But literally, it was just weeks ago that Latif ended up getting sick. And he was mentioning to me, he was like, hey, should I pull out of this meet? You know, he had a couple bad sessions coming back. And he was actually considering pulling out of the meet. And I told him, no, Latif, you know, you just understand that you're not going to jump right back into feeling amazing after you've been sick and can't really train for a week. And he was able to slowly progress up. I told him, you're going to be absolutely fine for the meet. You're going to ramp up to it. You're going to have some recovery and you're going to be good to go. And, that was definitely a mental hurdle for him. And then look at him now. He goes into his meet, absolutely crushes it, sets PRs, 8 for 9. So the feeling that you have when you jump back into it, understand that it's not like you lost muscle. It's not like you lost anything that you can't get back. It's kind of just ramping your body up again to be able to handle that weight and to execute that weight that you were using. So it's easy to get back on track. You just have to mentally understand where you're at with that. You need
to prime workouts. I swear that's the favorite term for me is just, I need at least one primer workout in all three of the motions in order to feel somewhat human in the motions. And like not pushing myself from the primer workout to 100%, but pushing it to, you know, last workout was maybe 70. Next workout might be 80. And, you know, just slowly progressing up through the block because like I don't need to show off to y'all. So like I don't need to go and, you know, put heavy weight on the bar. I need to train so that I can put heavy weight on the bar and show off when I go on stage.
I love that, Brad. You're absolutely right.
No one cares what you do in training as a power lifter. It's what you put on the platform. That's why there's a specific day to show it off.
I'm going to have to say, though, one time I gave myself exactly the speech like that Brad said. I'm like, you know what? Who cares? No one cares what I put on the bar. And then I have a very weak overhead press, like a very, very weak barbell, a very weak barbell overhead press, right? And I had not done it for a long time. I put the bar on the rack. I put a little chips, a 2.5, and then I go to press, and this little old lady comes up right behind me. She's like, "That's it." And I'm like, "You know what? It was the worst experience of my life." I'm just No, but I was like, you know what? She literally spoke my insecurities out loud. I guess that's the worst that was gonna happen, but it happens sometimes. And I actually wanted to touch on another point. When you brought up Latif, I instantly thought of this about him getting sick. I noticed, and I don't know if you guys have had this experience, but I know that with myself personally and a couple of other people that I've trained or some other people on the team, I notice that sometimes when you're getting closer to the meet, I feel like because like you're fatigued, because you're really pushing your body towards those limits, you have the tendency to get sick. I feel like it's a lot easier to get sick those weeks going into the meet. So it makes sense that maybe he got sick. I was already like kind of like feeling like some fatigue. So I feel like sometimes like it's kind of important to take that into consideration of being a little extra careful those like last couple of weeks going into the meet, because you're kind of like a little bit more open, and I feel like a little more susceptible to like getting sick and then having it feel worse than it normally would if it was if it was just a regular block in training where you're not trying to like peak for a meet. So just the thought, because I know that like there's been a couple of meets where I like literally got like pneumonia like a couple weeks before. I had a really bad flu, or I got like really 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 sick. But at the end of the day, like even if you're sick for like 3 4 weeks, it's not gonna undo 1 year of training. It's not gonna undo 6 months of training. Like I literally didn't train for an entire year, and then I got like about I want to say 85% of my strength back, 90% of my strength back in like 3 blocks. And like, so like 3 weeks off, 2 weeks off, 1 month off. Sometimes it'll do you a little better. Like it'll do you good rather than like you're not, like I said, you're not gonna, you really gotta do a lot to undo your progress. Like you really just gotta really go out of your way to make yourself weaker, in my opinion. Like so a little bit of rest can go a long way and stuff like that, and a little downtime's not gonna destroy your progress.
Absolutely. And going back to that topic too of no one cares what you do in training. If you ask some of the lifters out there who've set world records too, no one cares after they set the world record. There's no parade, there's nothing that happens. They set the world record and then you go on your way. You go back home, same thing happens. You go back to training the next day. There's no congratulations other than that. So no one really cares what the hell you do at a meet too. That's just kind of powerlifting. There's no grand audience. I mean, your teammates will care, your coaches will care, people who have been on the journey with you will care because they know how much that means to you. You know, it's about setting a goal and accomplishing your goal, and that's what makes this sport awesome. But if you do it to satisfy other people who aren't in your journey, then you're going to unfortunately be left kind of sad at the end because you have to do it for you and you have to realize that this is your journey and your unique circumstances and your goals. And people who walk that with you are going to care and it's going to feel amazing, but you have to realize you're doing it for the right people and not just for a random audience.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I feel like that actually can be, if you look at it like that and you really lean into that thought, then it can be really empowering, because then nothing else really matters. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what somebody else in my weight class does. I don't know what their situation is, and our strengths and weaknesses can be totally different. We're working on different things, you know what I mean? And I feel like it's very easy to get caught up on whatever is happening in like social media, which isn't even current, because I know a lot of people that just will post like will like breadcrumb their stuff. right? You don't know what's currently happening in their training, and it's a lot easy to get like caught up in what other people are doing with this. But if you just focus on your own personal progress, you're right, you'll be a lot happier. And just share your wins, like you said, coach, teammates, friends, with the people that actually matter, because it doesn't really matter what other people in the gym are doing, what other people on the internet are doing, because the circumstances, the training, the equipment, the supplements, let's be real, they can be totally different, right? So you can't look at it like that.
That's why most federations have a nice banned list of people that were trying to claim one thing, but actually were trying to just mistime their supplement use.
I, you know what? I'll never under, actually, I do and I don't. Maybe if it was like legal, right? Like, then maybe people would be more open, but I just feel like there's no point. I just don't understand. Like, just if you're doing that, just don't say anything rather than vehemently say, I'm not doing this. Just stay silent on it. But yeah, like, I feel like after doing powerlifting for a long time and being friends with a lot of bodybuilders, I didn't realize how many casual drug users there are. And there's like, I don't want to put it like in a bad way, but like it's fine, you know what I mean? Like, but I didn't realize how many people like take different types of supplement, banned supplements, like so casually, people that you would never think, people that aren't open about it and stuff like that. And that's totally fine. It's just very important, I feel like, as somebody who's like new, at least within the first 5 years of lifting, to understand that, like to really understand that, because it can really throw off what your expectations should be for your first couple of years of lifting. And I feel like it was really difficult for me until I started training at like Bev Francis. I started training at like other powerlifting gyms when I became like friends with people who were like high level lifters, and they opened up to me about their regimen, and it made a lot of sense, you know what I mean? But I feel like it's not, I don't feel like it's something that people talk about enough with like new lifters, and then they have these like expectations that are unrealistic. It's not their fault. It's just that they don't have all of the information together, which goes back to Coach Ben, what you said, just focusing on yourself because you don't know the like the factors and stuff that's going on in another person's training. You're only aware of your own, and you should only be aware of your own, because at the end of the day, even if I'm taking a million cc of something and somebody else is taking a million cc of that same something, we're going to have different results. So you have to just focus on whatever is in front of you and keep moving forward that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to think, what are you getting out of powerlifting, right? There's no, you're not getting a Shohei Ohtani $700 million contract. You know, it's really just, it's a very niche sport that we do. You know, unfortunately, there's some payouts that are happening in powerlifting now, which is cool. And hopefully it gets to the point where there's a little more publicity around the sport too. I think that'd be awesome. But I mean, at the end of the day, we're just lifting weights through a very short distance, and it's really just for you. And you know, setting a goal and achieving a goal. I think there's a lot of life lessons to be learned through the iron and approaching powerlifting. So I think that's really important to understand, is that you know, you have to do this for you. And if you think about a couple different scenarios, there might be someone who, you know, had a huge setback and they haven't been able to train for 2 years, and they got sick and they're battling all these things, and it's their first meet in 3 years, and they're just happy to put up a number and be competing. And then you have someone who, you know, is making PRs block to block and feels good, but who do you think is really going to have the biggest payoff? Even if that person that is consistently block to block, it ends up higher at the meet, it's the person who went through all that adversity. That's what makes it such an awesome moment, when you go through the adversity. And I think some of the lifts that stick with you the most are the ones where you had to really scratch and fight for them. Those feel the best. It's not the biggest weight. Certainly some of my lifts, it's not the biggest weight at the meet set that mean the most to me. It's who I shared the PRs with, who was there, you know, when family's there at the meets, which it's awesome. When you have friends at the meets, it's awesome. Those are the lifts that stick with you, you know, and periods where you face adversity and you don't think you're going to have a good outcome, and then you do. And those are the ones that feel amazing.
I absolutely agree, and I love that. And it kind of reminds me of that training that you did on It was coaching out about seasons in life and understanding that nothing's ever static and that everything comes in waves. And sometimes you'll be less motivated. These are your words, by the way. I loved it that
You're
sometimes.
great at segueing stuff.
I should have a podcast, but
I
love
know.
that you said sometimes you will be less motivated or gravitating towards different things, right? So exactly what you said about the lifter that took some time off, it could be because of children, it could be because they decided to they got a new job, right? It could be literally anything, right? And then like they will change direction for maybe 2 years, 3 years, however long it is, and then come back. And then maybe their total is not what it used to be, where maybe they totaled their best total was like 1200, and now they come back and it's maybe seven, eight, or whatever, like significantly lower. But we'll take into consideration this, somebody who was like maybe at their peak, and I don't want to say like a physical peak because I don't want to put limitations on people. Sometimes like when I was younger, it was a lot easier to do things, not because I feel like my body was fresher and in optimal shape, but because I didn't have responsibilities. I didn't have a very high rent payment. I worked because I felt like it, and I had time to just spend 3 hours, 4 hours in the gym and then go get protein shakes with my friends. I cannot do that now because I have responsibilities, and these are things that you cannot ignore, right? So like now that 700, 800 total versus the 1,000, like it was significantly harder to get there because I work, I don't know, let's say a person works 50 hours, 60 hours before they were casually working 20 because they felt like it. And maybe they have different bills, different stressors. They might have children, and maybe they like live in a different location. They don't have access to the same equipment. Maybe they don't have the same people around them, and they have to do a lot of self-motivation. It's just a lot of different things, and you can't compare yourself to something that you did 5 years ago where the circumstances were just different. Right? You just have to look at where you're currently at and be honest with yourself, like, oh, if this is the best that I can do, maybe it's not your personal best, but it is like significant. It's like it's if it, it's how do I put it? Like, it's still significant in the sense of like, but I had to deal with significantly different adversities, and I still did it. I still showed up. I still went to train after work. My kid is screaming at 4 a.m. I had to wake up to change their poop diaper, and then I went to the gym at 6, and then I had to go to work, and then I came home and I made dinner. Whereas before, you just rolled out of bed at noon, worked out for 5 hours, and then went home and watched Netflix. You know what I mean? And like, it's just throwing that out there of stop being so hard on yourself.
Yeah, and Steph, some people compare themselves to those people rolling out of bed and watching Netflix. That's the problem, is because you have your own set of circumstances where you feel like you're literally drowning in time, or there's just all these random events that happen, external factors that screw with your training. And then you're comparing yourself to someone who's literally rolling out of bed, training, has no obligations, maybe still living at home or something. Everything's comfortable to them. That's lower stress too. So they're probably recovering better. Not only do they have more time to train, they're probably recovering better. So it's tough to put yourself against that. Just the comparisons are never good. You have your own unique journey, and those are things I think people do not think about enough, is that I've seen the progression, like training when I was still going to school and didn't have a lot of obligations and had the gym in the basement. And yeah, I could just train as much as I want. I could drive and do a midnight session at a 24-hour gym. There's nothing to worry about. Then you get a house, and then you have a dog, and your dog gets sick, then you have a kid, and then everything's just crazy, and then you're just trying to work around these factors at that point. So it's very, very different. So I'm very glad that you mentioned that. I think that's a really important topic for people to understand.
I don't think I realized that until like I started thinking like later, like Kenny, my husband, he brought that up with like some of my training, and I'm like, oh, I don't like pull like as much as I used to. He's just like, we didn't he's just like, it was totally different back then. Like you were had the capacity to spend a lot of time in the gym. Our responsibilities were different, and then like even like being in a relationship too. Like I feel like when I was like single, I was in the gym all the time. But now I have to make time for, like my husband. I'm just kidding. And you have to make time for people in your life. You know, I feel like when you're like
Sure,
have,
yeah.
less responsibilities, you can focus a lot more on like certain things. But now I have to carve out time for my dogs, like you said. I don't have kids. Anybody that has kids that competes and trains like that, I think you guys are so cool, because I can barely do it with dogs, right? So like it's again like levels to it, and just being easier on yourself about what you like, being easier on yourself with what you're dealing with, and readjusting your expectations, I guess it's really it is readjusting your expectations. And then that's not necessarily setting the bar low, it's just being realistic, because I'm gonna have less time than some 16-year-old. You know what I mean? Like that's their business is to work out, because mom and dad make them their food or this or that, and like I have to like coordinate when I'm gonna buy strawberries, because when I blink, they're gonna go bad. Like these kids, they come home and it's done. You know what I mean? Or like again, circumstances being different, or they, I don't have to clean a poop diaper, but like I'm sure Courtney has, you had to have clean a poop diaper, right?
Lots
Right
of
before
poop diapers.
all right, oh, I got a client at this time. The kid is, all of these things, but yeah, anyways, that is my point.
When I first moved to New York, I had a job where I was mowing a golf course. So I literally jump on my mower. I could listen to podcasts. I could think about training all day. I could just sit on my mower. It was second nature. I'm just mowing, not thinking. I'm just thinking about training. And, fast forward to now, I rarely can just think about what's going to go on in my training session. And you have to be able to, as your stressors increase, you have to be able to compartmentalize different areas. Like, all right, now it's time. I need to just focus on training. I need to release, the other stuff that I was thinking about. All right, now I need to focus on this. And you need to be able to direct your focus in different directions. That's really, really important, because when you don't have all those things going on, then you don't have to worry about that. I could just sit on a training all day. So, very good points.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you found this helpful, I'm looking for powerlifters who want to add over 10 pounds to their lifts in the next 30 days. If you've been struggling to make progress or have been lacking motivation, let's chat. Message me next level at Big Benches on Instagram. See you next show.